the good times roll.
Welcome to All Ears, the official podcast of the Cedar Rapids Colonels, presented by Miracle Ear. I'm your host and voice of the Colonels, Calvin Cristoforo. On the podcast, you'll hear from past and present Cedar Rapids baseball influencers, including players, managers, executives, insiders, and more.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Another edition of the Colonels All Ear podcast presented by our friends over at Miracle Ear, Calvin Cristoforo, joined by Colonels outfielder Carson McCusker, one of the newest Colonels on the team. Carson, hey, thanks so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Now, Carson, I mean, you've had a whirlwind of a season, and we'll get into that, but we'll start with your first couple weeks at Cedar Rapids. You're through 2 weeks with the Colonels. I mean, what has it been like for you, and how have you liked joining this group of guys in the spot of Iowa you're in?
It's honestly been great. I mean, the day I showed up, I could just tell that there was a great connection in the clubhouse, really good chemistry. Everybody was super welcoming. And as far as Cedar Rapids as well, it's been great. A lot of good fans. So it's been fun.
Have you ever been to this part of the country before? I know you played a summer in Wisconsin, correct?
I did, yeah, up in Kenosha in, I think it was 2018. And then when I was at Oklahoma State, we played University of Iowa in 2019, I believe. So we played a little series there.
Okay, you did. Yeah, I didn't know that. Just a couple miles down the road. But You've enjoyed everything. Have you ever lived with a host family before? I assume you're with a host family. Ever done that before?
Yes, in Kenosha, actually, is when I did it. So back in 2018, it was a really good experience.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So let's get into you a little bit here. We'll start with going all the way back. I mean, you grew up in Sparks, Nevada, outside of Reno. I've never been to that part of the country. What's the baseball like out there in that part of Nevada?
I mean, growing up, honestly, not the best. I mean, there's a couple of good players coming out. I mean, you go to Vegas, ton of good players. But you go up Northern Nevada, I mean, you'll get a couple good players coming out of there. But over the past few years, it's honestly gotten a lot better. There's been a lot more baseball facilities, more baseball teams coming in there. So, I mean, it's definitely on the come up, I would say.
A lot of fans notice Carson McCusker right away because, like, he's a tough guy to miss. 6'8". I'm sure you get the questions all the time about, oh, why weren't you a basketball player? But you were, right? You did play basketball through high school. I'm just curious, when did the growth start to happen? When did you know, like, okay, I'm getting taller than a lot of the kids I'm playing ball with?
I mean, I was always, like, a little tall growing up, like, a little bit taller than everybody else. In my freshman year, I grew 2 inches. Year after that, 2 inches, 2 inches, 2 inches. So I left high school, I think, at 6'7", but it was, like, a gradual – kind of growth spurt over a span of like 4 years.
When did you know that, you know, when did you pick up baseball? Was it something you've always played, you know, growing up? Is that something you played t-ball with, or was it a sport you picked up late? When did you get into baseball, your start of playing the sport?
Honestly, my whole life. I started in t-ball. Baseball was my dad's favorite sport, so we kind of had that connection growing up. He really got me into it. So, I mean, baseball has been my number one love since I was a little kid.
But you also played basketball, obviously, at 6'7" in high school. Were you ever a basketball guy? Did you ever think that that was a sport that you could move forward with?
I mean, no, not really. I honestly started playing pretty late. I didn't start playing until high school. I was a wrestler all before that. So really? I'd spend my winters wrestling. So when I started playing basketball, I didn't really have a grasp of all the fundamentals. Like, everybody's way ahead of me when I first started playing. But I mean, I was more just like a kind of off the bench defensive guy. You know, I wasn't really much of a scorer.
How were you a wrestling?
I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn here, but I was,
toot it.
I was a pretty good wrestler. I placed first in state a few times growing up. And my grandpa is a Hall of Fame wrestling coach in Nevada. So,
really?
I really got some good knowledge from him. So me and my cousin were really big on wrestling growing up.
So what made you switch to basketball?
Just the height, obviously. I got big. I was like, I gotta start doing this. I mean, it'd be a waste of 6'8" not to do it, you know?
Was it some peer pressure? If you're like, dude, you got to join us in the basketball team.
Yeah, I mean, our basketball coach was kind of talking to me. My friends all played basketball in high school. They were trying to get me to come play, so I ended up doing that.
Another thing you played in high school is tennis. I mean, how did you get into tennis?
So I played football my freshman year. Didn't really because I played that growing up, but didn't really have a great time playing freshman year. And then one of our baseball coaches took over the tennis team my sophomore year, and he recruited a bunch of baseball guys to come over and play. And we were kind of just like, yeah, we'll do it, whatever, and kind of just messing around. But ended up having a lot of fun and getting pretty competitive in it. So I'm glad I did that.
Did you get pretty good at playing tennis?
Yeah, I held the doubles wins record for my school for a few years, but somebody broke it, I think, a couple years after I graduated.
Wow. I mean, you were an all-state wrestler. You were the tennis school record holder. And then you switched to basketball. And then you obviously on the baseball field, you were a standout, growing up, I would assume, all throughout high school. Was there a part of when you're growing up, like before high school, that you knew, okay, I think I can play baseball for a very long time? Was there a moment that things clicked and you're like, okay, this baseball thing, I really got a good avenue to go forward with?
I mean, I would say I was definitely better at baseball than all the other sports, just probably because I was playing that for way longer than anything else. And it was always my dream to play professional baseball. But I mean, at the same time, I mean, I would honestly say like an average baseball player in high school. Didn't really know like kind of how to play the game, I guess. Didn't really use my full potential. And I was also just kind of like one of those tall, goofy, lengthy kids, you know what I mean? So I wasn't really fully grown in my body yet. But then I got into college and kind of got helped out by some coaches there to kind of reach my potential.
So you were kind of a late bloomer when it comes to baseball things. So I want to get into, your recruiting process coming out of high school, because you go to a JUCO. You spend a year at a college, I think about a couple hours away from you in California, a junior college.
Yep.
What was the recruiting process like for you coming out of high school, and what made you choose to go there for a year?
Honestly, there wasn't a ton of recruiting. I really wanted to go to the local University of Nevada, but didn't get any looks from them. Honestly, I don't think I had any 4 years looking at me. I had an option to go to two JUCOs. I picked the one that I liked better, obviously, but I mean, that was about it. Two JUCOs, went there, just took a shot.
And what changed when you got there? Because that's when you started to develop, you got Division I looks. I mean, you got MLB draft looks. What changed during that year in junior college?
I mean, I just give a ton of credit to my head coach there. He kind of taught me how to be a power hitter, because before that I was just like almost like a slap the ball around the yard kind of guy, not really trying to hit for power. But when I showed up there, he basically told me, hey, like, you're hitting homers. We're going to try to get you at homers. We need you to pull the ball more. And it just helped me out a ton.
Home runs are fun. Those are good things.
100%. The best. They're the best.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll. Hey, Colonels. Hey, Colonels.
Hearing is important to living life to the fullest. That's why inside every Miracle-Ear store, you'll find better laughs at family barbecues. You'll find a better life is in store at Miracle-Ear when you experience the Miracle-Ear exclusive advantage. It starts with our free hearing assessment, plus innovative products that will fit your needs and budget. With free service and adjustments for life, call 319-243-7105 to schedule a free hearing evaluation and find a better life in store. Our local Miracle-Ear team is proud to support the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Group outings are a great way to unwind and enjoy a night out, and we invite you to reach out to our group sales staff and see all the options we have.
Everybody knows when you're at the game, the good times roll. Hey, hey, Colonels, let the good times roll. Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Galvin Cristoforo talking to Colonels outfielder Carson McCusker on the Colonels All-Air Podcast. Getting to the end of the season here, we go in mid-August on the Colonels All-Air Podcast and the Cedar Rapids Colonels High A season. Colonels already in the playoffs. Those postseason tickets are available for the Colonels in the postseason, the champions of the first half. So, Carson, you're in there and you're learning how to become a power hitter. When did the buzz started to come? Was that something that happened later in the season, later in the year in the high school things? Because you got major league scouts looking at you. You got college scouts looking at you. When in that JUCO year did everything really start to come together?
I would say, honestly, probably about like halfway through our fall scrimmages and all that. That's when it really started to click, started to kind of figure it out. And I remember, I think one of our players' dads was a scout for like the Blue Jays or something. And he was like, yeah, like there's a lot of buzz going around you. And I was honestly very surprised because, like I said, I was just going there just to play. You know, I wasn't really like, obviously the dream was to try to move on to the next level, but it didn't really seem like a reality until all those conversations started to happen.
So what happens, you know, in the spring season, you get picked, you get drafted by the Brewers in the 26th yeah. round. I mean, what was your thought process there of maybe saying professional baseball is my dream, way to go with it, or I got college offers, or I can go to two. What was your mindset, you know, in that situation there?
I mean, honestly, I didn't feel 100% ready to go play professional baseball yet, and it was also one of my dreams to play Division I baseball. And I remember taking a visit to Oklahoma State and just was like, yep, I'm doing this 100%.
So there was really not much of a conversation to sign with the Brewers when you get picked in that draft.
Yeah, I mean, there was a little bit of conversation, but at the same time, I mean, my parents were supportive and they're like, you know, if this is what you want to do, go do it. And I went out and did it.
So when you decided to go to college, it's kind of what you just said made it sound like Oklahoma State was the place to go. I'm sure you looked at other spots, but why did you ultimately pick Oklahoma State?
I like I said, I just remember showing up there on my visit and I was like, I mean, it really doesn't get better than this. I mean, it was like probably the biggest school to talk to me for sure. And then the staff was awesome. We had Josh Holliday, the head coach, great guy. And then I remember meeting some of the players too, and they were really, really awesome as well.
So you get to Oklahoma State, you're continuing to develop. You have a ton of success there. I mean, you were a Big 12 all selection every year besides the COVID year in 2020, which you only played, what, 14 games or something?
Yeah.
In that 2020 season. So you found a ton of success there. Were you able to build off some of the building blocks you got in your one JUCO year to perform, you know, in Stillwater?
Yeah, 100%. I definitely built off that and then was able to take – a lot of things from our coaches there. I mean, we had Matt Holliday on staff, Ron Ventura on staff. So just a ton of knowledge for me to kind of just talk to those guys about hitting and just take whatever I can get from them.
The Holliday family has had some success in baseball. With
no
Matt
doubt.
And of course, Jackson Holliday now rising through the ranks in the Blue Jays system. One of the coolest things you get to do there, and I'm sure you had no idea at the time, was to play with Christian Encarnacio Estrella. And I say that's a cool thing because in third of a season in Cedar Rapids, I mean, he became a household name. He was beloved by Colonels fans when he was here. Just that he hit a million home runs, and then he wound up to Wichita before he got traded in the Red system. What was it like playing with that guy? We talked about it a little bit, but I mean, what was it like getting to play with a guy that Colonels fans fell in love with and now is in the major leagues with the Reds?
I mean, you could tell right away he's definitely a special player. And I remember showed up my first day in Fort Myers. First thing anybody would say to me was like, did you play with Strand? You play with Strand? He's like, oh, you played with Babe Ruth? I was like, yeah, I played with him. But yeah, I mean, that guy, I mean, there's a reason why he's in the big leagues right now. He's a real special player.
Christian Encarnacio and Strand already on the alumni wall at Veterans Memorial Stadium, making it into the big leagues just a couple years after he was drafted by the Twins in the fourth round in 2021. You were also in that 2021 draft. I mean, what was that process like for you? You didn't hear your name call. I'm sure that was something that you had to go through. I mean, what was that like in that moment?
I mean, it was pretty disappointing, but I mean, at the same time, I was kind of skeptical. I dealt with a lot of injuries in college, never played a full season. But I mean, I was definitely expecting to at least get a shot, especially since, I mean, every year that I was eligible, except for that year, I had an opportunity to sign. And that's why I put it off, because I figured it would be there in 21. You know, but we were opening up a new stadium, so I wanted to go back and play in that. But I mean, it was pretty disappointing. But I mean, at the end of the day, it all worked out.
Stay connected with the Cedar Rapids Colonels all year long by following the Colonels on social media. Catch up with the Colonels on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CR Colonel.
How did the Tri-City Valley Cats come into the equation? How did you find this independent ball team in Troy, New York, area that I'm a little bit more familiar with up there in Troy? But how did you find out, you know, about the Valley Cats? Was that something that, you know, your agent or someone put together? How did you find your home in independent ball?
So their manager is Pete Incaviglia, who's Oklahoma State alumni, and he has a good relationship with Josh Holiday. So every year he'll ask Josh if there's any players that didn't get signed that still want to play. And I remember I had one of my buddies from school go play there, I think the year before. And he played there, I think. Actually, no, this was when they were in Sugar Land. Same manager, though. But it was Sugar Land before they got sold. I think they're the Astros now, right? Astros AAA or something like that.
Yep.
So he played with them, got signed by the Royals, and was basically just telling me all about how Pete was and just opportunities to get. So I decided to go out there.
Did you ever at any time get discouraged? Like, hey, I'm, you know, I didn't get drafted. Or was it always the dream moving forward that I know I'm good enough and sometime there was going to be a point in time where someone notices what I'm doing?
I mean, I'd say definitely a little of both. I mean, discouraged coming out of college. And then I think I played there for about a month after college, put up a good season. And I was like, you know, I mean, I'm still playing because I think I have a shot and I have what it takes to get signed, get picked up, play at the next level, but didn't happen. Next year, didn't really have a great season the first half, and that kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. So I said, you know what, I'm going to give it one more year because I think I still got what it takes to do this, and I'm glad I did it.
When you say you're going to give it one more year, did you make that like, if this doesn't happen in 2023, were you thinking about after that? Or did you say, if this doesn't happen in 23, I'll go back for 24 and I'm going to keep going?
I mean, I was at the point coming into this year, I was like, if I'm still playing independent baseball by 2024, I'm done playing. So I was definitely towards the end of my road in my baseball career if nothing happened.
That's incredible. But something did happen, and I'll tell you what happened. 17 home runs, a bunch of RBI. I crunched the math this morning just in preparation for this. You know, in the Midwest League, 123 games, you know, double A 180, 138, triple A 150, big leagues 162. On a 162 game season, Carson McCusker in 2023 is on pace for 63 homers and 185 RBI combined between Indy Ball, single A Fort Myers, and in high A Cedar Rapids. I mean, to think that you gave yourself the ultimatum that it might be the end in 2023, I mean, that's one hell of a season. But what happened before you got signed by the Twins was 17 homers, a bunch of ribbies in Tri-City with the Valley Cats. How did the Twins come about? How did that even happen in the middle of your independent ball season?
I mean, I didn't even know that they were interested until the day that their scout called me and told me they were signing me. That's the first time I heard from, I think, any affiliated team. I mean, we had guys in there, I think the Yankees and maybe the Rays, talking to a couple of our pitchers, but never had conversations with them. And then I remember getting a call, I think it was July or June 30th, something like that, that they were signing me. And I was like, all right, awesome. I had no idea.
I'll get on the plane to Fort Myers. And he did.
Exactly.
But was it kind of a culture shock when you got down there from, temperature-wise, I'm sure it was. But besides that, was it a culture shock at all moving from an independent team to, you know, the complex in Fort Myers, where not only is the single-A affiliate, but the facilities and the complex league team? Was that a culture shock by any means down there?
I mean, it kind of was. I mean, it's definitely just a complete 180 from independent baseball as far as, like, facilities, the way you're treated, the stuff that the team provides you. I mean, meals, even pay is just crazy compared to what independent baseball is. But, I mean, it definitely took some getting used to, but it was a lot of fun for sure.
And I read this, and you can confirm or deny this, that you've credited a lot of success this season to a leg kick that you put in at the plate. Is that something that is true, first of all, and how did that come about?
Yeah, so like I said, last year in 22, first half of the year was terrible. And then I remember I was talking to our manager, Pete, in Tri-City. I was like, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to start doing a leg kick. My timing's all off. I'm just going to try it out. And I think I hit a homer the day I tried it. I was like, all right, I'm doing this
for
the rest of my career. Yeah. And then after that, I started hitting great and then just carried it on into this season and just worked out for me.
Continuing to work. So you get down to Fort Myers, you get off to, you know, an incredibly hot start. I mean, down there, you're rolling through it. What was the conversation like when the promotion happened? What happened there?
We were in Dunedin, and I didn't play that day, and had no idea because I was slumping pretty hard. I think I was like 3 for my last like 28 or something like that. So I definitely didn't expect to get moved up at all. And then Ray Sierra, our hitting coach, was our manager because our manager had Brian had COVID or something like that, so he's out. So they came to the clubhouse after the game and announced to everybody that I was going to Cedar Rapids. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what was your reaction in that moment?
I was definitely shocked because, like I said, I was like 3 for my last 28, hitting bad, but at the same time, just super glad to be up here.
And you spent 2 weeks here. I mean, you got 3 home runs already, a 4-hit game already. The success is continuing. What has been the transition, if anything, from Fort Myers to here in Cedar Rapids?
I mean, it's – I don't know. It's been, I'd say, pretty similar to, like, what the transition was from independent baseball to Fort Myers, you know, just a, kind of a jump up, but getting used to it.
Well, there you go. One of the things I wanted to ask you about is on your Oklahoma State – page on whatever it is, gopokes.com or whatever the website is. do you remember who you put your favorite baseball player as?
I think it Nelson Cruz, maybe.
Yeah,
is that
Nelson
right?
Cruz, yeah. which is not, you know, a guy that a lot of people say when asked who their favorite baseball player is. I mean, why is it Nelson Cruz?
So I was a Rangers fan growing up as a kid, and he was always my favorite player. And then, I mean, the guy's 40 years old now and still hitting a ton of homers. So, I mean,
43.
It's hard not to admire that. Yeah. Hard not to admire that.
There you go. Just an interesting answer. So in Cedar Rapids, I mean, obviously you've put a couple things together. What do you think your goals are for the rest of the season? Obviously winning in team success. But you personally, what kind of goals do you have for the rest of the year, if any?
I mean, just trying to play good baseball. I mean, obviously I want to try to cut down on my strikeouts, which has been tough, you know, the past, I don't know, 3 weeks or so. But, I mean, just, I don't know, just going out and play baseball. Like I said, this is going to be my last year playing if I wasn't an affiliated baseball. So I'm honestly just out here enjoying the moment, you know.
That's an incredible story. Have you taken time to digest, I mean, the whirlwind of what's happened this year? I'm sure when you look back on it in October and November, you'd be like, wow, I mean, what a year. But have you thought about that at all coming from, you know, Troy, New York to Fort Myers to now in high A in the Midwest League West best team, right up there with the first place overall team in the league overall. I mean, have you thought about that at all?
I have. I mean, a little bit, you know, but kind of just living in the present moment and just enjoying it all. I mean, I'm sure once the season's over, it's going to hit me that it's just been a crazy year for sure.
Absolutely. A crazy year and hopefully some crazy cool things coming down the wire. Carson, I can't thank you enough for your time. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
That's Colonel's All Ear Podcast presented by Miracle Ear with Carson McCusker, Colonel's outfielder. Before I let you go, Carson, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this. McCusker sounds such like an Iowa name. Have you got that yet? Like
I have. Yeah, I've got it a couple times. Yeah.
What have people what have people said?
Like it sounds like McCornhusker. That's usually what they say. Yeah.
There's got to be some sort of – I asked you this before, you know, around the batting turtle, and I was surprised you don't have, like, a nickname, like, oh, that's Big Nevada or whatever it is. But, like, it sounds like Cornhusker, like, the big cusk, the big – there's got to be something that we can put together here, right? You had any help?
I know. Like, I mean, I don't know. I've had a ton of nicknames throughout my career, but, I mean, I'm sure something will stick.
Okay. Well, I'll try to work on that. I'll try to figure something out, and I'll like slowly hint it to guys in the team that hey, we should get this going. Before I embarrass you anymore, Carson, really once again, really appreciate it. And I will see you soon. Good luck the rest of the season. I'm sure Colonels fans are going to be really excited to get to the ballpark and see Carson McCusker in the outfield and see a Colonels team that right now looks to be well on their way to a really successful year in 2023. Thanks, Carson.
Thank you.
That's Colonel's All Ear Podcast with Carson McCusker. We'll be back next time with another episode presented by Miracle Ear.
Choosing Miracle Ear was a great decision. Like when I decided to host family movie nights. Miracle Ear made it easy.
I just booked an appointment, and a certified hearing care professional evaluated my hearing loss and helped me find the right device calibrated to my unique hearing needs. Now I enjoy every moment. The quiet ones and the loud ones.
Your local Miracle Ear team is proud to support your Cedar Rapids Colonels. Enjoy the game.